Praise the Lord again for that special this evening. And I trust that it's just been a blessing being in the Lord's house this evening. And I know it's cold outside, and I know it's very, very icy out there tonight. Do you realize there were people that sat in a stadium today, field temperature, negative 10 degrees, and watched a football game this afternoon? And that's crazy. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. And I'm just praising the Lord. We have a warm place to meet here tonight and to hear from God's Word for something that has eternal value. And can you imagine going to that game and your team loses? I mean, spending the money to go to that game and sitting there and freezing for 3 hours and your team loses. And so praise the Lord for an eternal perspective that He gives to us tonight through His Word. And it has been a blessing. And I trust that, listen, I know you've made every effort to be here tonight, and I appreciate that very much. I think the Lord is pleased with that. And again, we understand that this time of year, when the snow is falling and it's treacherous to get out, we never want you to put yourselves at risk. But listen, this is more than just gathering just to check something off a checklist. We're here to worship the Lord and to hear a message from God's Word, and we certainly have through song tonight and enjoyed fellowship. And I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts tonight as we go to His Word. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 this evening, 2 Peter chapter 1, I began to pray, of course, about what the Lord would have me to preach on, and I didn't know all the weather that would take place this week, but I believe the Lord has directed us to this passage, and I know this is what God had in mind each person that would be here this evening, and certainly this message is for all of us. And so once you found your place in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word this evening, we're going to read verses 1 down through 11, and then we'll read in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And so if you will, we're kind of going to get Peter's introduction to this book, and then his conclusion, and take what he's given to us, and I believe we can tie it all together this evening. I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you tonight. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now notice these verses, if you will. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now I invite you to turn over to chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And he says then in verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, the things that we've just discussed in this passage, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. You can be seated. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to gather here this evening. We're thankful for the opportunity to open up your word, Lord, and just to have the fellowship that we've had this evening and to hear the songs that we've heard this evening and to be able to participate, Lord, in the services. And we know that you have a message for us in your word. Lord, we do pray for those that are unable to be here tonight. I know weather has kept many home this evening. And I pray that you'd bring them back with us at the next appointed hour. But we do thank you for those that are here tonight. And we pray that you'd bless them. And Lord, give us the message from your word. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. I want you to think about a question tonight just by way of introduction. Think about this thought. What is to be the single focus of any child of God? I want you to think about that question and kind of run that over in your mind. What is to be the single focus of any child of God? Now, certainly as Christians, there are a lot of things that we should be doing as Christians, are there not? I mean, if we were to make a list tonight, it would not take us very long at all to come up with several things that in the Christian life are things that a Christian just should be doing. Certainly, we should be serving other people, and that is a great thing. That's something that God has called us to, a life of service to Him and serving other people. We should certainly be loving other people, and we certainly should be reading our Bible, and we should be praying, and we should be giving and witnessing. And the truth is that the list could go on and on tonight. And several things throughout God's Word. But I want to say this tonight from this passage. I believe that God gives us something that as Christians we should have one focus, from which, under that focus, all these other things will fall into place. You see, Peter starts and ends this book of 2 Peter with this thought. It's the idea of growing spiritually. Spiritual growth by living the Christian life. And here's the thought behind spiritual growth, and this is what I want you to get tonight. This idea of knowing God more every single day of our lives. Gaining in our knowledge of God on a daily basis and growing in our relationship with God. And I want you to understand tonight, church, that this, as Christians, has to be our focus. Our growth and our spiritual growth in the Christian life. Understand this, sometimes if we get that out of focus, we can focus on maybe something else. And the truth is, someone can focus so much on serving that they forget the fellowship and the relationship with God. The Bible gives us that thought of Martha. Did she not focus so much on being service-oriented that she almost had some bitterness towards her sister? And so if we're not careful, sometimes we can focus on something over here or something over here instead of what the main thing is focusing in our knowledge of God and growing in our relationship with God, from which all of these other things will fall into place. Listen, if you're growing as a Christian on a daily basis, you will serve other people. You will have love for brothers and sisters in Christ. You will witness the way that God has called you to. And I want you to understand, listen, our focus has to be on knowing God more every day. And when this happens, every other part of the Christian life will fall into place. Now, we look at this thought here from 2 Peter, and he's talking, I believe, about spiritual growth and growing spiritually. And you say, how do you grow spiritually? The Bible tells us in verse 2, look at what 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He says, listen, this is how you're going to grow in grace, and this is how you're going to grow in peace through the knowledge of God. Look at chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How are you going to grow in your faith? You're going to spend time with Jesus. You're going to take advantage of all the opportunities that He has given to you to grow through His Word. You see, the message is very simple tonight. For us as Christians, we must constantly be experiencing growth in the Christian life. There never should be a season in our life where we take a back seat to the things of a spiritual nature, or there never should be a time in our lives in which we are content simply just to sit there and not move forward in our Christian life. And that's the message tonight. It's a very simple message from God's Word. As I thought about this, you realize we look for growth in every area of life? I want you to think about this tonight. In the corporate world, when someone takes a position with a company, oftentimes the question they ask themselves, or they may ask the prospective employer, is there room for advancement in this company? Is there room for growth here? Listen, as I come to that position, is this an entry-level position from which I can grow in this company? You see, what happens with someone once they've reached their potential with the company? What happens? They grow very dissatisfied very quickly, don't they? And oftentimes in the corporate world, we look for growth. And listen, if we're not growing in the corporate world, if we're in a position and it seems like we're not moving forward, or maybe we're moving or regressing a little bit, we get a little frustrated there, don't we? When we purchased our house a couple of years ago, we had all four of our kids and we were content with the four kids that God had given to us. And so we began to look for a house. And yet our kids were just a little bit smaller than they are now. And we looked at that house and we tried to imagine what that house would be like with four teenagers living in it. We asked ourselves this question: is there room to grow in this house? Or am I going to have to buy a new house in 5 years? And praise the Lord, God led us to a place. But oftentimes when we're purchasing, especially for a growing family, you're looking, listen, is there enough room here? Is there room for growth? You know, we go to the pediatrician with our kids and they go for their well visits and they sit before the pediatrician. He begins to type in all the numbers, the weight, the height, all that kind of stuff. And he has what's called a growth chart, doesn't he? And he looks on that growth chart and he says, this is where your child is. And based upon that, if they're in the right area, he'll just say, good job, keep it up. If there's some adjustments that need to be made, he'll go with it there. But listen, no doctor is okay with a child that is not growing and developing the way they should be. And the truth is tonight, listen, we look for growth in every area of life. And yet the question we have to ask ourselves then, why then are we okay and content not to grow in the Christian life? Everywhere we look, we are saying, listen, I want to grow in this area. Is there some place, is there advancement that can take place here? Is this big enough? We need something bigger over here. Are our children, are they growing healthy? Are they developing the way they're supposed to be? And yet sometimes when it comes to the Christian life, everything else can grow and go forward in the Christian life. It's like, well, it's okay. It's okay to not experience growth. And I want you to understand, listen, that should never be the case. We just began a new year, 2016. It's hard to believe it's here, isn't it? And yet a new year is always a good time for evaluations. I want each of us to ask ourselves this question tonight. Am I closer to God today than I've ever been in my life? I want you to think about that question. Personally, I've asked myself this question. Am I closer to God than I've ever been in my life today? Is there more knowledge of God today than there's ever been in my life? Is there a greater desire to know God and who He is today than there's ever been in my life? I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 5 because I love this passage. Matthew chapter 5, and I want you to see something very important that Jesus gives to us. No doubt you're familiar with the idea of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's Jesus Christ, His Sermon on the Mount. And there's a lot of good items in here for us to look to, a lot of great teaching that Jesus gives to us. And in the first part of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ gives us what we have come to call the Beatitudes. And I love verse 6 because the Bible says this, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want you to think about that just for a moment there. What God gives to us in this passage, He says, listen, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those people that have a desire to know God. Those people that have a desire to grow in their faith. But listen, not only does He say they're blessed, but look at this. He gives us a promise there at the end of verse 6. He says, for they shall be filled. Here's what I want you to understand tonight, Christian. Jesus gives us every opportunity to know Him, to grow in our faith. And He gives us so many ways in which we can grow in our faith. Thank God for the Bible that He gives to us. Thank God for the local church and the preaching of God's Word. Thank God for Bible study and these available opportunities to grow in the Christian life that Jesus gives to us. And here's what I want you to understand. If you'll come hungry, Jesus has all that you could ever want, all the knowledge that you could ever have. If you'll come to Him simply desiring to learn from Him and to grow spiritually, Jesus says you won't be disappointed. You'll be filled. And what a powerful promise that He gives to us. Turn back, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Back in our text there, the Bible says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen, Peter's simply telling them, listen, God has given to us His Word, that by which we can be divine partakers in the things of God. We can gain a spiritual understanding. Listen, now today more than ever. Greater opportunities to grow in your Christian faith today than there's ever been because of what God has revealed to us through His Word. Can you not see the truth of the Bible and the world in which we're living in and what the Bible says was going to happen? And yet for the Christian, there is no greater time in which we should be able to grow in our faith than there is today. And God says, listen, you can come to the table and you can be divine partakers in God's Word. Listen, sometimes we can grow complacent, though, in our knowledge of God. We can grow complacent with stopping and not moving forward. And for the Christian, that's never okay. Can I remind you something of this passage, the book of 2 Peter? Obviously, we understand this, but Peter is the author of this passage. As you think about Peter's life, is his life not an incredible testimony of growth through the grace of God? What God did with Peter's life? I mean, you think about Peter in the Gospels. Here he is, a simple fisherman, and Jesus calls him to be his disciple, and Peter's always the one that has the answer, right? A lot of times running his mouth before ever thinking about it. You think about Peter, the example Jesus gives to us and how God's using him now. Here Peter, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, is he cutting off one of the soldier's ears? I mean, Peter just steps away from Jesus and he's cursing and denying that he's ever known Jesus after spending 3 years with him. After Jesus showed himself to them after the resurrection, Peter went back for a short time to the old lifestyle of fishing, and you look at this man, and now you see how God's using him to talk to other people about spiritual growth. In fact, if you look in Galatians chapter 2, we don't have time to read it there, but they call him a pillar of the New Testament church, one that God allowed to build the New Testament church on, and all you see, listen, is nothing but growth after growth, growing on a daily basis in his testimony. I want to just say tonight that I'm encouraged when I read the testimony of the Apostle Peter here and understand what God did through his life as he spent time with God and got to know God. And we may ask ourselves this question, why did Peter grow? I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4 and see what Jesus, or what we're given to this about why Peter does grow. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, and this is another incredible verse. The Bible says there in verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." These men, they looked at Peter and John and they said, listen, they're just simple fishermen. They don't have formal education. They haven't gone through religious training and schools and those kind of things. And they looked at them and they said, they perceived in their lives they're just unlearned and ignorant men. But the Bible says they marveled. They looked at them and they marveled. They stopped and they had to get a second look because the Bible says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Their spiritual growth came from spending time with Jesus. And I want you to think about this. Peter was part of Jesus' inner circle. He spent time with him. He was with him almost every day during those 3 years of earthly ministry. And that's an exciting thing. You often think about the things that they were able to see and the things that they were able to witness Jesus do. But here's the promise for you tonight. We can as well be a part of Jesus' inner circle. We can get to know him. We just have to come to the table ready with spiritual desires to allow Jesus to fill us and allow us to grow spiritually in the faith. So we go back to our text here in 2 Peter, in chapter 2. And we go back, or in chapter 1, I'm sorry, and we see in this idea of spiritual growth and in God giving us his word so that we may have the knowledge of Christ and grow more like him on a daily basis. And then in verses 5 through 7, he gives us some of these benchmarks that of these things that will be developed in the Christian life as we are growing spiritually. He says in verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." And so he says, listen, as you're growing in the faith, these things will be developed in your life. And every Christian ought to be able to look at that list and say, yes, I see where God's doing a work in these areas. Now listen, probably none of us have reached perfection in these areas, and there's still a long way to go, and the Christian life is about growing constantly. But just like you'd go to the doctor's office and say, well, I'm going to check your cholesterol levels and this level and that level, and we need to make sure they're where they need to be. And if they're not where they need to be, what happens? We take action. We remedy those things. And the same thing is true in the Christian life. When these things aren't in place, we need to take action. We need to figure out why they're not in place. And so he gives us this list in verses 5 to 7. But then, after this list, and I want to focus just in the last few minutes here this evening that we have together, on verses 8 and 9 and 10. Because he gives us a few reasons why we must continue to grow spiritually. I want to go through them very quickly tonight. First of all, why we must grow spiritually in the Christian life. First of all, number one, growing spiritually will keep me fruitful. Growing spiritually will allow me to produce spiritual fruit in my life. Look at verse 8. He says, "For if these things," the things we've just spoken about there, "be in you, if they've been developed in your life in spiritual growth and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, listen, if you want to grow spiritually, if you desire to grow spiritually, I will bring work through you and I will allow you to grow spiritually, but not only that, you will bear spiritual fruit. I remember when I was around fifth or sixth grade, our family, my parents and my grandparents, purchased about an acre of land just on the outskirts of the city of Cleveland, and they split that land into two properties, and both my grandparents and my parents built a house on the property. And so we lived next door to our grandparents, and my grandmother had always liked to have plants and have a garden, and so she had a great idea to have a big garden there, and I mean, she went crazy with it. She planted corn and she planted all kinds of crops, and my grandpa, he had tilled up the land for her, and she planted all kinds of things. Now my grandfather, he wasn't so much into the gardening. He wanted thick green grass. He wanted to have grass that, I mean, you walk past and you look like you're at a baseball diamond, you know, a professional baseball park. And that's what my grandfather wanted. And so after he had tilled up her land and she went and planted, he went to the store and got some fertilizer, some weed and feed for his grass. And so he began to spread his weed and feed. He had a tractor and he had a spreader. Well, what he didn't realize is that he was spreading the fertilizer, what shouldn't have gone into the garden, he was spreading it all over her crops. Well, I think he realized pretty quickly after he had done this that those crops are not going to grow now. In fact, they're going to die. But my grandfather, now listen, my grandmother is not a real big woman. All right, but she could scare you to death if she got mad at you. And my grandfather determined he wasn't going to tell her because he was scared to find out the results if she got mad at him. And I don't know why he thought, you know, delaying telling her would do any better. But he was going to hold on to this as long as he could. And so I'm not kidding you, my grandmother was out there every day. And she had a garden hose and she was spraying her plants or her crops and she was, you know, she was picking weeds and she, I mean, frustrated as all get out because there is nothing growing in her garden. And I think finally, like a month later, my grandfather had sympathy on her and finally told her, I don't know what happened in that house when that whole conversation went on, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't a good thing at that point in time. But I'm simply saying, listen, she was very frustrated because she had planted crops and nothing was happening. And yet, we have to understand this principle. A garden that doesn't bear fruit is a source of frustration to the gardener. And here's the deal in the Christian life. Listen, when you became saved, God placed spiritual desires in your heart and your life. And God placed spiritual desires, whether you realize it or not. Listen, when you're not bearing spiritual fruit, there is a void. There is something that this world cannot fill. It's a void that will never be filled. And yet, listen, when you're unfruitful, you'll grow frustrated with the Christian life. You wonder, is there something else out there? I'm just a little dissatisfied with what's going on here. Listen, it's not God. It's you. It's the lack of desire to grow and to go forward in your Christian life. So what causes barrenness and unfruitfulness in the Christian life? It's certainly a lack of spiritual growth. He says there in verse 8, "For if these things be in you," if you're growing spiritually, if these things be in you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. Listen, look at verse 3 of the same passage, chapter 1, verse 3. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue," he's given us all things. Everything that you have need of to grow, you have. And so the lack of fruit is because I'm not developing spiritually. I'm not growing the way God would have me to grow. And listen, by the way, it's not automatic. Spiritual growth is not automatic. What's automatic is conformity to this world. We studied that this morning during Sunday school. That's automatic in our lives. Being transformed to what God has for you, that takes work. But listen, when you have spiritual growth, you also have spiritual fruit. I also remember from my childhood as a kid, my mom, you may find this hard to believe, I was a hyperactive kid. And my mom, she dreaded the summertime when we weren't at school because she realized she had to deal with us at the house. I had two older brothers, and we constantly fought. I mean, we made an art out of fighting with each other. And one year she said, I'm going to give you a project. You're going to plant tomatoes and peppers. And listen, I never wanted to touch a tomato in my life. I had no use for tomatoes. I had no use for peppers as a kid. I just thought they were disgusting. I didn't want to go around them. But can I tell you this? When I planted those tomato and pepper plants, the first time I came out and saw some fruit there, saw something there, I saw a little pepper or a little tomato. Listen, as a kid that didn't like tomatoes or peppers, I got excited because there was actually fruit from something that I had done. And listen, if you find yourself a little dissatisfied in the Christian life tonight, allow God to develop some spiritual fruit in your life. Allow God to do a work through your life where your life touches someone else, and you'll get excited really, really quickly about what God's doing in your life. And so we see that spiritual growth, first of all, will keep me fruitful. But secondly, spiritual growth will help me to see clearly. Look at verse 9, if you would. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The illustration he's giving us here tonight is this idea of nearsightedness. Just seeing what's directly in front of your face. Not being able to see out in the distance. And yet here's what happens when we're not growing spiritually. All we can see is the trial that we're in right now. When we're not allowing God to develop us, listen, there's a tribulation that comes upon our lives. And we look at that tribulation and listen, because of our nearsightedness, because we're not growing spiritually, we forget about how God has brought us through time and time again. We forget about the promises that are found in His Word. And the Bible says we can get to the point that he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off. And this is remarkable to me. Look at the end of verse 9. The Bible says, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This is the end result of someone that is not growing spiritually. Listen, this doesn't happen overnight, but you can come to a point in which you may stand there and say, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. I'm so blind. And listen, you say, how does someone get to that point? They're not growing spiritually. They're not developing. There's no knowledge of God in their lives, so much so that when a trial does come, listen, again, they forget about afar off, and all they can see is what they're experiencing in their world right now, and they may utter these words, does God even love me anymore? When someone was fired up for God and when they were growing spiritually, they had no doubt that God loved them. They had no doubt that God was speaking in their hearts. And yet sometimes when we're not growing spiritually, we can become blind. Cannot see afar off. And you get to the point where you wonder, am I even saved? They've forgotten that they were purged from their own sins. And listen, I think all of us would stand here tonight and say, that's never going to be the case in my life. Understand this, you don't go from being on fire for God one day to the very next day being what this passage is talking about here. Lacking the vision and acting as though you weren't even saved. It's a gradual process over time. But it's what happens when we're not developing spiritually, and when we're not growing spiritually. I want you to see very quickly the third thing that we have in this passage when we're not growing spiritually. Not only will it keep me fruitful, not only will it help me see clearly, but finally tonight, and lastly, spiritual growth will keep me steadfast. Keep me steadfast in my walk with God. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. The person that is developing spiritually and growing spiritually every day of their life, they come to God and say, God, what are you going to teach me today? I'm ready to learn. They open their Bible and say, God, would you please show me from your word? The Bible gives this promise to them. They'll be steadfast in their walk with God. They'll never fall. Turn over to Psalms chapter 1, if you would. Psalms chapter 1. Great passage of Scripture and really parallels this thought very, very well. Psalms in chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, the Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's the picture of someone that desires to grow spiritually, desires to come to God and say, God, will you teach me? Will you show me? Will you lead me along? The Bible says that's where he finds his delight. His delight's not found amongst the scornful, amongst the sinners, amongst the wicked ones. His delight's not found in the world system. It's found in the law of God, in the things of God. And then he says in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's there where the nutrients are. That tree that's right by the banks of the river, that has enough water, has enough nutrients to grow strong and to grow very big and to produce fruit in his season. We've all seen a tree that looks very much alive. And we've all seen a tree that looks like it's about to die. And there's a huge difference between the two. And yet that's what God desires for us, to be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Look at verse 4, though. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There's a difference. There's a difference between verse 3, that tree that's by the rivers of water, that's strong, and then there's verse 4, the ungodly. And by the way, I think that this could be a picture of someone that's not growing spiritually in the Christian life. Kind of tossed to and fro. Doesn't have a whole lot of roots. Doesn't have a whole lot of anything to tie it down. And yet, listen, when we grow spiritually, when we allow God to develop us on a daily basis, we can be steadfast in our walk with God. You know what this world needs today? It needs steadfast Christians. Moms and dads, you know what your children need? They need a steadfast dad that says, listen, it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. If it goes against God in this house, we're not going to do it. Yeah. What our children need is a steadfast mother that says, listen, I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to follow after God, and we're going to do all that we can to serve God in this house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, what this church needs is some steadfast Christians that are saying, Lord, every day I want you to grow me spiritually. I want to gain more and more knowledge in your word today, more than I gained yesterday. And then tomorrow I want to gain more knowledge, and I want to have greater desires to know you tomorrow. Our world needs that. Your place of employment needs more steadfast Christians. Young people, your school needs more steadfast Christians. Our youth group needs more steadfast Christians. And yet, how do we become steadfast in our walk with God? Through spiritual growth. Through gaining more desire and gaining more understanding of God every single day. I want to challenge you tonight to not be content with where you are spiritually. I want to challenge you not to put on the brakes and say, you know, I've served long enough. I want to sit down and let maybe someone else do it. Listen, there should never be a season of our life in which we can go through that time of life and say, you know, God hasn't spoken to me lately. God desires to speak to us each and every day of our lives. Yeah. I wonder if we did our own personal evaluation tonight. If we'd find ourselves that there has been a time in which we knew God greater. In which there was a time in which we were closer to God. You know, I guarantee this, when Peter was mending his nets that day, that Jesus came to him and called him. Peter didn't exactly know what he was about to sign up for. He had no way of knowing how the next several years were going to take place. But now in 2 Peter, you do a little background study, Peter's about to die. His death is imminent. It's been a long time serving the Lord. But he looks back and he says, listen, I can show you this. This is what God developed through me as I developed spiritually. Listen, when we're growing spiritually, it allows us to bear fruit. It allows us to be fruitful for God. It allows us to see clearly. And then finally, it'll keep me steadfast. So how about it, Christian? Where are we at in this idea of growing spiritually? Maybe there's someone that may just need to come to an altar tonight and just kneel here at the altar and say, God, renew my desire to know you. Lord, help me to grow spiritually today, tomorrow. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. No doubt this is what God had for us tonight. The words of Peter, someone who God did a tremendous work through in his life. You look at his testimony and see how God developed him. How does Peter get to the point where he's an apostle, where he's a pillar of the New Testament church? It's through knowledge of God, through spiritual growth, through constantly growing and knowing God in greater ways. I want to challenge us tonight, because it's so easy sometimes to just get content. Say, I came out to church today. I go to church every service. I serve in ministry. And sometimes it's just easy to get content as we live this Christian life. And God is saying, no, you need to know me more. You need to grow in your faith. You need to be allowing these things to be developed in you. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we do want to thank you for the message from your word. Lord, for the example that you've given to us through the Apostle Peter. Lord, and I pray that you'd help us tonight as we do business with you. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts to help to apply this message to our lives. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen.